get a level check from you, sir, please?
Sure. What do you want to say?
Just talk for about 10 seconds.
I will now talk for 10 seconds.
All right.
Sure. You listen to me.
Yes. Okay.
No count, count in.
Give you countdown. Hold on. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz here on AM 970 The Answer. We're here at the Carpenters headquarters on at 395 Hudson Street for Labor Press's annual Labor Leadership Awards. And sitting down with us right now is Bob Krogan. He's the head of the Organization of Staff Analysts. Bob, welcome to the show.
I thank you very much.
Bob, why don't you start out by telling people who don't know about your group what you do and the kind of folks that you represent.
I think it would be safe to say that most people have no idea about my group or what they do for a living either.
All right.
The Organization of Staff Analysts is a self-organized group that took a long time to get made to a union, but they got there eventually. The analyst title was created by the Department of Personnel back in the 70s, and it's sort of like a generalized expert's title. According to the job description, they can do almost anything. Can't quite leap tall buildings in a single bound, but when you read the job description, you almost think so.
Right.
They use them in every agency in New York City, transit authority, housing authority, to widespread title.
Now, you have something like 5,000 members, and you're in danger of losing a big chunk of them. Tell us about that.
I would anticipate losing a couple thousand for sure. What's going on right now is the Supreme Court has now had the appointment of Justice Gorsuch, and Justice Gorsuch will join the other four right-wing members to vote in favor of essentially the old right-to-work routine, where they won't let anybody be charged for the union unless they volunteer to pay.
Right.
The difficulty with that is that a very large portion of the American public does believe in unions, but a portion of that group also believes in being a freeloader if they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a number of people who will not be opposed to the union ideologically, but will be very quick to drop paying dues if they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. Under the expected ruling, there'll be really no way to force people to pay their fair share, and they won't pay their fair share. Mm-hmm. I do anticipate it'll affect different unions differently. If, for example, you get unions where they're on the front lines together as teams, they'll tend to automatically reinforce through peer pressure, people should be paying their fair share, and they'll mostly stay in the union.
Yeah. And some of the labor leaders I've talked to about this issue are trying to present it in not such a doom and gloom way, and actually said, well, maybe this will put a fire under some unions to do a better job to get that support. But like, what you're saying now is like, whatever happens, there's always going to be a freeloader.
Yeah, but the doom and gloom part isn't something that I necessarily am overwhelmed by. Mm. I'm old enough that I was around before agency shop came in, when we had to convince people to pay dues. I've already explained to my fellow union presidents of the Municipal Labor Committee that once this is over with, there'll be less money for us to make use of. But the truth of the matter is we'll probably like our members better, because those will be the ones who choose to belong, who choose to cooperate, who choose to help each other out. Mm. We'll have gotten rid of the ones who essentially are just pure selfish. Mm. There is obviously the fact that every single union in New York City came into existence without any assistance from agency shop. All of them were created by people who believed in what they were doing. In my own union's case, we got to the point where we had approximately 60% signing up voluntarily, even before we were a full union. Mm. And this has been kept up for many, many years. So I gather there is a certain amount of communal feeling on the part of the New York City workers, but there's still no question there'll be a definite income loss once the free riders are allowed to be free riders. Mm.
So try to, play this out a little bit, and what do you think labor's reaction here in the city is going to be? What would their strategy might be, and, just their overall reaction to it?
Well, they're currently having a great deal of discussion and looking into a lot of different strategies. I am not quite as enthusiastic about spending a lot of time thinking about that, again, because I have the experience of having been active many years before agency shop came in. In the city of New York, agency shop came in during the fiscal crisis sometime around 1977. So I was active from 1965 onward, so I had 12 years of knowing what it was like without any agency shop. If you have a pretty good union and you have things on the job that you need to correct and people are interested in it, you will get a certain amount of people joining up and being participating and supportive and so forth. So I don't know that most of the other ideas they're coming up with are particularly going to change the basic thing I'm discussing. Mm-hmm. Once you have some people able to drop out, they will. Whether you have better insurance for them or more bells and whistles, it may have some effect. The major strength always comes from the people have common sense, and most people understand you're better off with other people helping you than just on your own. Mm. Now, it is true that the outside culture keeps on telling you that, you know, you should be independent, you should be on your own, you know, you against the boss, and you're equal. No, you're not equal. The boss has all the money, the boss has all the power, and together you're actually stronger than the boss, but individually you're not.
Right.
Again, I don't foresee that we'll have everybody in the union after agency shop goes away, but that's okay. I can survive that, and other people can too. They're now thinking they can because they're used to the agency shop. It will require some belt tightening. The major goal on the part of the Republicans is to make sure that the unions don't have enough money to keep on giving to Democrats.
Right.
But that will probably go on anyway. Just not as much money, but still, there will be money coming in because if people take our side, we'll take their side.
You mentioned the good old DNC. We've seen the track record that Labor has had with the DNC, you know, being married to them at the hip for, you know, so many decades and not really getting anything back. That kind of, you know, the last election that kind of came to a head. Where do you see the relationship going between the Democratic Party and organized labor?
Now, as far back as the Clintons, this whole idea of centrist Democrats upset me terribly. I consider a centrist Democrat to be kind of like a Republican, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to have it both ways. You really can't quite have it both ways. If I remember correctly, Bill Clinton was raised, to an extent, while on welfare, on age-dependent children.
Right.
While he's president of the United States of America, he gets rid of it. It helped him stay alive when he was a child. Then all of a sudden, he endorses the idea that we only give welfare temporarily to people. After 5 years, they have to go off and get a job, whether there's a job there or not. That's stone hypocrisy and dreadful to hear of a Democrat doing. Nor was that the only thing he did that I disliked intensely. Now, I don't care much for centrist Democrats. In all truth, I much preferred Bernie. The last election through, he may not have been much of a Democrat, but he was my kind of guy.
Well, those centrists, they're still hanging on. They are not going away.
Well, they may be around, but then again, they may get a fight from the left wing of the party, and we'll see what happens. I know I would support Bernie if he ran again. I'd support Elizabeth Warren if she runs, and I guess you could name another half a dozen people of that sort that I would be more than willing to support, simply because I think they're more honest than the others.
Try to gauge the temperature of your colleagues, your contemporaries in the labor movement. Do you think they're ready to make that leap over to the away from the central Democrats?
There's always a difficulty for people who represent other people that they can't always do precisely what they want to do because they have to be very pragmatic. If they're pretty convinced that the further left candidate can't possibly win, then they'll go ahead and endorse the mainstream candidate. If they think that the other candidate can win, well, that would be a different story entirely. Mm-hmm. And I've been around for years when labor leaders made decisions which were a little bit risky and sometimes paid off quite well, and other times paid off very badly.
Mm-hmm. So having said that, of course, we experienced what we experienced during the last election. Do you think this is the year when, you know, somebody from the left side of the spectrum would get labor support?
I would certainly hope so. I know my own personal feeling would be yeah, and I think I can speak for a number of other labor leaders in New York City would feel that way. We really have not been treated very well, even by the centrist Democrats.
Mm.
And, of course, Republicans would just like to wipe us out entirely.
Right.
There is a trend here on the part of, now it's the Republican Party, but it actually used to be the Democratic Party. They switched places sometime after Johnson. Mm. Before that, there was a very strong southern wing of the Democratic Party, which had an uneasy alliance with the northern Democrats. Now we have the Republicans essentially aligned completely with the old southern Democrats, now they're the southern Republicans. And I don't know if their plans for us are much less than wage slavery. I don't think that they think we should have anything going for us.
Mm-hmm.
The current tax bill they're coming through with, they keep on sweetening it more and more for the rich folks, figuring all the rest of us are too stupid to notice.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that we're not.
Do you see any... So, from what I'm hearing from you is that you think you're holding out hope that the Democratic Party can be restructured from the inside. Do you think that we'll ever see people just saying, throwing up their hands and saying, we're done with the Democrats, we're gonna go off and do something else?
Well, I've been involved on occasion with the Reform Democrats and when I was young in the Bronx and so forth. And then I was also involved with the Labor Party when they were making an effort to create a Labor Party. The issue here really is that the Democratic Party is not unchangeable. If you have enough strength within the party, you can get it to go any way you want. The problem is getting enough people within the party willing to support what you're doing. Mm. And that has to do a lot with day-to-day politics and people being pushing hard.
Right.
There's a great difficulty. If I talked a minute ago about the fact that labor leaders do represent their members and therefore have to be a little cautious, well, people who make a living out of politics tend to be far more cautious yet, and that could be a problem.
So heading into 2018 now, look at your crystal ball. What do you think, in addition to the things we've already spoken about, what are some of the issues that you envision yourself having to grapple with?
Well, aside from the agency shop, which will be the big one, the only other issue I can think of offhand is the fact that this country does seem to be going very far in one direction, and maybe hopefully we'll begin swinging back in the other. Let's hope.
There you go, Bob Krogan. Bob, how many years have you been? You said you started in the mid '60s.
I went to work for the city in the year 1965.
There you go, and you're not going to plan on retiring.
Well, I'm sure I'll be stopping soon, whether I retire or not.
You got another 30, 40 years.
I wouldn't count on that.
Bob Krogan, head of the Organization of Staff Analysts, thanks a lot for stopping by on Blue Collar Buzz. And please, everybody, stay tuned after these messages. We'll be right back for more of the show here on AM 970, The Answer.